still interested in our thoughts and what we do with those. So I was curious, have you ever at the end of the day taken an inventory of what you've thought about that day? How much have you thought about it that day? And maybe we say, well, you know, I spent no time on sinful thoughts. If anything came to me, I cast that away. But, you know, we have a lot of things that we think about in a day's time. When we get up, going to work throughout the day. If you're at home and chores at home and the news, and there's just things that can take our mind. And I was thinking about how do we control them? It tells us in 2 Corinthians 10th chapter, 4th and 5th verse, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. So what if you wanted to, if you realize, you know what, I have taken inventory of my thoughts over the last few days, and I see the direction that this is going is not sinful, but it's not profitable either. And I would like to make adjustments in that. You know how hard that is for us to do it on our own. But it tells us that it's possible to bring into captivity every thought. No matter which way it is, you know, we can have just hurts. Maybe a hurt that someone has done to us. You know how the devil wants to magnify that to where I'm thinking about it at night. I'm thinking about it in the daytime. If I would be, I would maybe be ashamed to think of having to write down how many hours I spent on that. Well, this is telling us I have the ability to bring into captivity my thoughts. And so again tonight for a little while, I would like for us to look at things that can adjust our thoughts. You know, I love the promises of God. Sister Maxine had that Sunday school lesson a few weeks ago about the promises of God, and maybe almost 8,000 of them in the Bible. I love them. One thing I like about them is you hear the saying, you can take it to the bank. That means if it were literally, this check won't bounce. Yes. This check is good. So, and it says, what is it? All of his promises are yea and amen. I love that. Here's one of them. And I think maybe we heard it today, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. A guarantee you can have perfect peace. But the question is, where's my mind been going? Yes. So I'm interested again tonight. We've had maybe a couple times already that we've talked about it. I want to think about the name of Jesus again. What we're doing is we're building a library in our mind. If we have spent in the last week a lot of time thinking about things that just, I mean, it can be just the news and what's happening. It could be COVID. I could have a book in my mind of COVID over the last 2 years and how much trouble it has brought. And it's on my mind. It's doing that to a lot of people. It can consume me. But there was a song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Yes. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Yes. The more I think about Jesus and really think about him, not just, it's just a passing thought, really let it consume my thinking, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So I want to think more about him. So what I want to do is add another chapter to the book of the name of Jesus. Now, what does this mean, the name of Jesus? It's the title of it, but it's really just the beginning of open it up and I start seeing chapters of who he is, what he is able to do for us. And the subject that I'd like to look at tonight when I think about his name is light. How big of a chapter could you put about Jesus and light? Spiritual light. Whenever his name comes to my mind, I would like to have a storehouse of memories, of scriptures, of who he is, where he came from, when he started. And you know what it does for me? Is I start realizing, you know what? I don't have a problem bigger than what he can take care of. So tonight I would like to look at, we've looked at some of these verses already, but I would like to go back to Isaiah. He had a glimpse. He had a vision. You know how many years before Jesus that vision was that Isaiah had? It said about 700 years before Jesus came. And here is his vision. Before we go to that though, there is a verse in Romans 8:25. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Yes. 700 years before Jesus ever came, Isaiah has a vision of something happening. And you know what? That vision was passed down to other people. There were people, generations. How many generations is there in 700 years? There were generations of people that had a hope of something out in the future. This is the glimpse that Isaiah had. In Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 2nd verse, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. You know what that verse is not talking about? Well, it was nighttime and all of a sudden the daytime came. Spiritual darkness, they've seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And then it goes on down in the 5th verse. So if you would think about this vision that he has, it's almost pictures that are passing in front of him in this vision. 5th verse, every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And then he says, the verse that we always like to read, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I'd like to read to you what the commentary says about this. It says the scenes of coming times were like pictures passing before Isaiah. Most of the pictures seem to have been of battles, conflicts, thick darkness. But in one portion of it, of this passing scene, he started seeing light. Light coming. And I would like to stop right there for just a little bit and take a look at that light. We get to read a little bit about it in the 1st chapter of the book of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Yes. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Who's this talking about? Jesus. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It says in the commentary, in this vision that Isaiah had, says it was the light that he saw rising in the distant and darkened Galilee. He saw the joy of the people, the image of peace, succeeding the armor of war. The light expanded and became more intense as the darkness retired, until he saw in this region the Prince of Peace, the Son of Righteousness itself. Can you imagine what that must have been? And now I have a song that I'd like for us to sing together. I would kind of imagine that the angels would have wanted to sing this to him. This is what we call a Christmas song. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, and thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. 700 years before Jesus came, and he sees a light. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. You know what that tells me? God doesn't look at time the way we do. We see a few years as being a big, long amount of time, and God does not look at it the way we do. Who was the last prophet before Christ's time? Malachi. How many years before Jesus' time? The last time that we know of there being a prophet before Jesus came. 400 years. 300 years have passed now since Isaiah sees the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. We still have another 400 to go. And yet Malachi caught another vision of it. I'd like to take a look at that. In the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, and you know, it's almost like Malachi got a little picture of the same thing. Behold, the day cometh, 4:1 of Malachi, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. All the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it leave them neither root nor branch. But here's the verse. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness appear. After I started studying this, I think it was the next morning I got up and started to work, and it's dark outside, but out in the east, and I started thinking of Isaiah, just a little glimpse of light. But it kept growing until it was a huge, it just turned into daytime. And it made me think of that. You know, 700 years before that, Isaiah got a glimpse. There is light coming for us. 400 years before Christ, Malachi sees it. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness appear. In that for the Isaiah 9:6, Barnes finished this out. In the commentary, the eye of the prophet gazes intently on that scene and was fixed on that portion of the picture. He sees the Messiah in his office. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And this is what he sees. You know, as I thought of that, I think of going to work and we get a service call to go to someone's office and I'm walking down the hall looking at the nameplates on the office to see which one I need to stop at. What a nameplate Jesus has.
Yes.
The names that could be attached to his, it's more than just Jesus stamped on the wall. It is all the things that go with that name.
Yes.
Unto you that fear his name shall the Son of Righteousness appear with healing in his wings. You ever read Brother Salmon's book, A Story of His Life? What was the name of that book? From Darkness to Light. That's quite a story there. Unto you that fear his name, the Son of Righteousness shall appear. I'd like for us to look at another song. Because, you know, I think it wasn't just Isaiah that had a glimpse of that light. In our songbook, number 470, I'd like for us to sing that first and second verse. Because, you know, as I see the sun coming up and it makes me think of Christ, spiritually, from darkness to light, I am very thankful for it. From death to life, oh, what a thought within my soul, a change is wrought by power divine. No tongue can tell one thing I know, for me 'tis well. From darkness, sun, to light sublime, through my Redeemer's matchless name. For this he left his home on high, that I should not forever die. Oh, praise the Lord for victory. From death to life he lifted me. By his great love and power divine, eternal life is truly mine. There Jesus paid it all, I see, to bring this wondrous life to me. Life from above, oh joy sublime, that such a treasure should be mine. Now in God's Son I have a part, eternal life within my heart, translated from the shades of night into the realm of glorious light. Oh, praise the Lord for victory. From death to life he lifted me. By his great love and power divine, eternal life is truly mine. And that vision that Isaiah had, you know, it talks about in the New Testament that it might be fulfilled. So I'd like to look at the fulfillment of that, where it's brought over into the New Testament. Matthew 4 and 14 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. After 700 years, now it is coming to pass. And I was thinking of this verse. We looked over at John, the first chapter, talking about that light. But I'd like to go back to the 10th verse of John, first chapter. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. You know, I'm sure glad that he didn't just turn around and say, I'm through. I'll go back then. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them to them that believe on his name. Those that sat in darkness received a great light. You know, think of those that had faith to believe for all those years, this light is coming. And it was available. Isaiah was available for everyone to read. The scribes and the Pharisees read it, and they had an expectation of what that Son of Righteousness was going to do for them. The leaders, the religious leaders, had a glimpse of what that was going to do for them. But you know what? There was somebody else that had a glimpse. I would like to look at, sometimes we just see this and we move right past it. But here's a man that had a vision in Luke, the second chapter. In Luke 2 and 22. Now this is quite a verse right here. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Can you imagine that scene? We're bringing this baby, which they have been bringing babies for days, for years, the same way. But you know what they're doing is they're bringing God's son, yeah, bringing him to present him to the Lord. And look at the 25th verse. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So I wonder how many times he came into the temple wondering, could this be the day? I wonder if this is the day. But you know, I don't think it came by surprise to him. It was revealed that he wouldn't see death. He came by accident, 27th verse. He came by the Spirit, yeah, into the temple. You know, so easily he could have been busy doing something else and those paths not crossed. But he was walking close enough to God that the Spirit led him. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. You know, he'd had no question that this was the Christ. You know, he had seen babies for many, many times brought into there. And maybe he just had a little thought in his mind, I wonder which one it's going to be. But it was revealed to him, yeah, that this is the one. The people that sat in darkness received a great light. What Simeon says in 26, and on down he says, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. This is in 30. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Here's this light again. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You know, he was able to get that. He's also said in 34, he is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. You know, he had a vision himself of something that was out ahead. But he was also able to recognize Christ. It says, many expected a temporal prince, and in this they were disappointed. They loved darkness rather than light, and rejected him and fell into destruction. It said, many that were proud were brought low by his preaching. They fell from the vain height of their own self-righteousness, were humbled before God, and then through Christ rose to a better righteousness and to better hopes. Who does that make you think of? Apostle Paul. What did he say? Those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yes. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but of faith in Christ. So as I think about light, 2 Corinthians, let's just look at that. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. I am thankful for natural light, But I am very thankful for the spiritual light. For God, sixth verse, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You know, he did it for the literal light. He also has done it for spiritual light. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I am very thankful for that. You know, he was able just by speaking in the beginning in Genesis 1, let there be light, and it was light. Without the sun. The sun was several days later before he created it. God was able to speak and light came into existence. I am thankful that in darkness around us, gross darkness enveloped the people, that there is light available today that can reach into a heart. Psalms 119. There's a couple verses in Psalms 119. 119 and 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. You know, the messages that we hear, the times that we open our Bible and read it, it's the entrance of those words of God that brings light to us, understanding of what God's will is. In 105 of that same chapter, thy word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. You know, Jesus was telling us that he was the light of the world. This is in John 8 and 12. But he said that there was not everybody would be coming to him. Jesus spake again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then on in John 3 and 19, how can it be that men would love darkness rather than light? This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. That light came with Jesus coming into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds be made manifest that they are wrought in God. I am thankful for light. For light to shine on my pathway. You know, what would it be to walk in darkness naturally? Not able to tell one step ahead of you what is there. You know, a little flashlight just makes all the difference to be able to see just ahead of you. In the dark times that we're living in today, I am so thankful that Jesus is that light for us. He said, I am the light of the world. You know, the scripture tells us in Isaiah, there's a woe to them that put light for darkness and darkness for light. Put good for evil and evil for good. We're living in that day today. Put light for darkness and darkness for light. What did it say? The entrance of thy words bringeth light. You know, that means that we should be able to go to the scripture and whatever it says for us to do, we follow that with no regard for what anybody else has to say about it. If the world says that gay marriage is okay today, we have to look at the Word of God and what it says. That is where the light is. But you know, we're in a day, in a time where men love darkness rather than light. What I want to tell you from that, instead of us getting down because of the news being all negative and what the direction that our country and the world is going, be so thankful for the light. That it's not just here, okay, if I've got enough people that love light, Jesus will be here for it. But no, for each one of us individually. I remember hearing in the past that because the world is becoming more and more wicked, that the Spirit of the Lord could start lifting from the earth. maybe that is possible as far as us looking at the people that are rejecting it, that it seems like, you know, there was a time where I believe that the Lord honored America because we honored him as a people. And now that respect for him is gone. But you know what? That doesn't have to affect me as an individual. I can have his spirit work with me up to the day that this all comes to a close. I don't have to walk in darkness. There is another verse in Romans, the 13th chapter. And in our thinking, in our times of meditation, I'd like for you to take a look sometime at the verses that talk about this spiritual light. In Romans 13, and 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So what that's kind of telling me there is, light has some protection to it. Light is a protection for me against the works of darkness, and I am very thankful for that. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, but he didn't stop there. Then he went on and said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, he moves it for us to be also a light. 5 and 14 of Matthew. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And then it tells us in the 16th verse, now you let your light so shine. You know, we hear the children up here singing every once in a while, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Well, you know, that's not just for children. That's for us as adults. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. See your good works, and what's going to come from it? That the folks that see it would not look at us, but they would glorify the Father, which is in heaven. So it's not just that Jesus brought the light, but now he's asking us to be the light of the world ourselves. I would like to close with another song. Song number 114. It starts out the first verse, along a dark and gloomy path, I grope beneath the shades of death, no hope beyond my dying breath, till light from the Savior came. Individually for us, light shined on our path, and I am so thankful for that. And it closes out with, all glory to my Savior's name. Yes. After that light has shone on darkness, and I am so thankful that it has shined in my life. In the light of God, now my soul is singing, all is bright. May we value light. You know, we're coming up into Christmas time. I would like for myself to be thinking of all the attributes that go with Christ's name. He is, he has been, and still is the light of the world. Those that walk in light, darkness is gone. I am thankful that in 2021, we can still have where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Let's sing that song together. May we stand and sing.
Along a dark and gloomy path, I grope beneath the shades of death. No hope beyond my dying breath, till light from the Savior came. In the light,
singing,
all is bright in the light. darkness now is passed away. In Jesus, all is perfect day, and peace and comfort ever stay, since Christ is my perfect life.
In the light of God,
now my soul is singing.